You've served two terms on the Fort Madison School Board. Why did you decide that you wanted to serve another term?
The last couple of years, we made some really good progress, and the board's really taken a good direction. We've got the district going in a very good direction. I wanted to see if a few more things get followed through to get accomplished. I don't want to see it drop off. You know, we've got the district going in a very good direction. I'm afraid if we make a big change, that things might drop off, the district can go backwards, and we don't want to do that.
What are some of those areas that you are really proud of and say the things that reasons that you say Fort Madison's going in the right direction? What are some of those that you've been a part of?
One of the biggest ones, the new superintendent, Superintendent Slater. She's been here for a year now, and she's really helped get the curriculum in line back again and really made a good focus on getting the kids first in the district. At the high school, we got some really good programs. We've added a welding program a few years ago. Then we added the construction program, really built that up. You know, building trades programs. We've added a culinary program this last year for kids that aren't going to college. And even if they are, sometimes they have these really good programs. We've started really beefing up the honors programs and the AP classes. And now, like this year, we're adding an AP U.S. history class. So I want to see those continue to get, so kids that are going to college also have more rigorous classes to get them ready for college and get them a better foundation so they can succeed at college or also succeed if they go out just to the regular trades.
What are some of the maybe new ideas, the things that maybe are in the works that you want to see to fruition, or maybe even some new ideas you would have that you'd like to see the district look towards? What are some of those fresh new things that you would like to see?
Continue to do the implementation of our technology. In the past, we didn't jump into giving every kid a computer all at once. We got our staff, our teachers trained on how to do it first, and then slowly rolled it out to the students. And we've got now with the TLC program, which is Teacher Leadership Quality Program. We've really become a very good leader in that in the state and how we've set that program up, especially with Mr. Troxel leading the technology part and helping the teachers get the websites all established. So we want to continue to roll that out, and I want to see that improved even more and really get that established and going well. Give those kids a very good chance to not only use technology just as a standalone thing, but to actually be able to integrate it very well into what they do everyday life. Some of the, you know, the programs that kids come up with now are just mind-blowing. You know, we were touring a school last year, and we were in a second grade class, and these little second graders were putting together a PowerPoint presentation. They didn't realize they were doing it. They were just doing it on little pads. Just they're tracking a program like how a plant grew and showing the progress of that. And these little kids are just flying around doing this stuff. It blew my mind away. I'd have problems trying to sit and do that, and they're just doing it like no problem. So I want to see that continued. I want to see that even going further. A possibility to be, you know, now we're getting almost every kid's got a Chromebook, or at the older levels and the younger levels have the tablets. You know, of course, it comes down to cost like everything, but we'd like to see, like on our buses, especially our activity buses to start out with, but then even on our trip buses, have internet access on them. So when the kids are riding the bus home, especially if you have a 45-minute ride home, you could sit there and still get your homework done while you're sitting riding on the bus. You know, that would make, you know, if there's, you play sports, you know, we're in football and volleyball season right now in cross country. You know, so if you're coming back, you know, from a meet or from a game, you can do your homework while you're coming home on the bus instead of, okay, I got home. Now I got homework to go just sit and do for another hour. That'd be something I'd really like to see implemented in. But of course, it comes down to cost, like everything else. In our trades programs, I'd like to, you know, start seeing, you know, possibly maybe an electrician program, or maybe like a plumbing, something along those lines, you know, kind of get that built up, or an HVAC program, something along those lines built up in there. And then, of course, keep adding more AP classes and giving those kids more chances to succeed and stuff.
What are the qualities and traits that you bring to the board? What are those characteristics that you feel that you provide on the board?
One, the big one, experience. Since we've been on the board for quite a while now, it's always going to come back to costs, and especially the way the state is decreasing our funding. And it looks like, at least for the next 2 years, that's going to be a consistent pattern. It's going to keep decreasing funding. So I understand how school finance works, having been through it for quite a while. I understand, you know, how the cuts have to go and how that stuff all works. Somebody new getting on the board would have, it takes a lot of training to understand school finance because it is such a complicated, and the state's made it so complicated, but it's a very complicated thing to go through. And it's easy to want to give everybody big raises, but then you turn around, okay, if I give you a big raise in March and April, well, then we got our new budget and there's no new money growth, no job growth. And now you got to make big cuts. And that hurts. That's hard to do. I've had to go through cuts several times already and making some very tough decisions on that stuff. And you always have to put kids first. Whatever affects, you know, when you make a cut, you have to do, okay, whatever affects the least amount of kids, you know, and you work your way up from there. So that's something I think experience is a big thing I bring to that. And knowing the time commitment. Time commitment is huge on this. You know, most people think, okay, it's just one meeting a month. No, there's two meetings a month plus extra trainings we go through. You go to the state convention in November. That's, you know, 4 days out of the middle of the week. There you go to that. You know, there's trainings, regional trainings we go through. You know, once every couple months up in Mount Pleasant usually is where they have them at, but they'll have them at other places too that, you know, we like to try to go to get more information to become a better board. So there's time commitment to understanding all that stuff too.
Obviously, one of the biggest issues with the district is the pursuit of a new elementary school versus redoing the two current schools. It failed the first time. Second time, it did not pass, but it actually had a majority of votes, just still didn't reach the threshold. Would you push to see another vote? And if so, how would you make it different? And if you wouldn't push for another vote, then what's the approach when it comes to renovation, I guess, is the sounds like the only option.
The drawback to renovation, there's a couple of drawbacks. One, it's more expensive. I know some people don't believe us, but we actually did have the architects come in and go through the buildings because we were trying to figure out the best way to do this, the most, you know, inexpensive way, but also to get everything that we need done. When you remodel these buildings, you know, they're being 100 years old, it's not a simple just go in, throw some walls up, and you're done. I mean, we're going to have to take these buildings back down to the studs and move walls and stuff. And then these are very well-built buildings. So it takes more to get them done versus a simple, easy, need to move wall and kind of stuff. The other issue with remodeling schools, one of our biggest concerns is safety, and it's the pickup and drop-off. You know, you go by Richardson Link right now, that is almost scary the way, I mean, they've got them done the best we can. We've had experts come in to tell us to look at it, to study our plans, how we drop off and pick up. But there still is, we've got the best we can, but it's still very dangerous. I mean, it'd be very easy for those kids to get hit. You know, we've been very lucky. Nobody has gotten hurt. But that would be, even if you remodel it, you're still going to have that problem. And, you know, especially where we don't own the land around the schools. You know, there's people, there's houses, there's residential. So it's not like we can expand or add another bus turn lane in. You know, we're kind of line locked in what we can do. So that's why, a big reason why I'd push for a new school still. I know everybody's not thrilled about having it located on the edge of town, but it's a lot more sense. It makes it a lot easier and a lot more safe for those kids to drop off and pick up. If you locate it in town, you're going to have to buy multiple houses. That gets very, very expensive, and that drives up the cost. And I'm still wanting to keep our costs as low as we can. I don't like raising taxpayers' money. I mean, I own a commercial building. I own a residential building. So I know when the taxes go up, I feel that quite a bit. So I don't want to raise those if we don't have to. But at the same time, you know, building a new school, you know, that would have been $27 million for that building. That included a school plus ball fields. When you talk with the construction experts, the architects, every year that gets delayed, they say 4% raise. So even if we come back with this very similar plan next year, it'll probably have to be without the ball fields. Or some other things are going to have to get cut out of that already, just to kind of keep those costs down. The other drawback, you know, to taking out the ball fields, if we ever, I know the community's made a big push, they would really like a auditorium, mm-hmm. or at the high school we could use an auxiliary gym. Only locations for anything like that would be back where the baseball and softball fields are at. So, you know, that's one of those things you try to do on a board, you try to look in a crystal ball 10, 15, 20 years down the road. So, okay, if we relocated those ball fields now, it wouldn't be a hindrance in the future if somebody, say we had a big donor comes by and says, hey, I want to build a new auditorium. okay, we got a flat spot for that to go. Right now, we wouldn't have a spot for that to go, so we have to add more cost to that, and that would be a hindrance. So I want to try to remove as many hindrances as we can and make things, set the district up as best we can in the future.